Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Ray Dininger will join us in just about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. We'll talk to the Diddy. Also up ahead in, well, less than that time, about a minute and a half or so, your chance to win $1,000. It's all up ahead. Let's go to the phones right now. Big Sixers win last night. They needed it. They got it. It's great they got it. Embiid looked awesome. I think there's major concerns that should be, you know, in people's minds with Ben's lack of offense, but he was great defensively. Let's talk to Anthony right now. What's up, Anthony?
Yo, Hammer. What's going on, buddy?
It's all good, man.
Hey, first off, John, I want to say thanks for taking time to listen to the videos I sent you.
She's really talented. You should be excited about that. She's really good. She can sing.
I really, really appreciate it. I want to bring up, like, last night, JoJo, that was some of the best play from a big man I've seen in a long time, man.
Yep.
And, like, to your point, Joe, Ben does have to, like, do something better offensively. I get it, like, he's great on defense, but, like, he's still got to produce.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you maybe can get by the Hawks this way, but it's not going to be a recipe to win a title. And I'm just really aggravated this far into his career. He's undeveloped as he is. I mean, to shoot 3 shots... Listen, the whole, like, hey, he's Draymond Green guy. Well, Draymond Green's typically not shooting 3 shots, and he's certainly not afraid to shoot the ball. So don't give me he's great defender guy, expended so much energy. Oh, it takes it out of him. He can't shoot the ball on offense because he played defense. Come on. Ridiculous.
Yeah, really. Really strives, you know. Drives it a whole thumb.
Well, he tries to drive, and then when he meets resistance, then he chooses to pass.
It feels like it requires this city to be up in arms about him not driving. It requires Doc during the whatever practice time they have for a particular game to be focused on, okay, Ben, we really need you to be doing this game, and then he goes out and does it. But if we're trying to multitask and name, you know, a couple things, a couple – priority methods that he needs to show in that game, he's unable to do that. And I guess we just need to be patient, right?
I'm tired of patience.
I understand because we're past that point.
All right, Anthony, give me who's cocky.
How about Tom from Abington?
Tom from Abington. Interesting. John, do we assign Tom from Abington?
Really?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so either.
No. Yeah, not a great answer.
Can I just ask this, though? Is the last caller, James, what was your definition of cocky from Webster in there? Because is the last caller implying that Tom from Abington is annoying? Because wasn't that the definition?
You're right. That was.
So what's the definition?
Yeah, I closed it, but it was basically someone who's so confident that their confidence annoys people, essentially.
Yeah,
so
I
confident
mean,
and believe in themselves.
Maybe the last caller was saying Tom from Abington's annoying. Hey, you've got a chance.
Uh-oh.
I know. A chance right now to win $1,000. We do it at the start of the 1 o'clock hour every day on our show, starting today and for the next many weeks moving forward. Your chance to win $1,000 right now by texting the word ROCK to 72881. Text the word ROCK to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide texter is going to win $1,000. You've got another chance tomorrow at this very time, 1 o'clock, and every day on WIP for the next many weeks to come at 8 a.m., noon, 1, 3, and 4 p.m. each weekday. It's all powered by BetQL, Win More, and Cash In. With the help of BetQL, download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's Bet, B-E-T-Q-L, BetQL. All right, let's talk some more about all of this with our next guest. He's usually with us every Wednesday in studio at 12:45. But today, 1 o'clock over the phone, always a great opportunity to talk to the Diddy, Mr. Ray Dittinger. How are you, Ray?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing?
We're good. You know, Ray, I'm trying to figure out sort of how to feel. Well, I guess I know how to feel. I guess what I'm trying to say is I feel conflicted because I'm excited the Sixers won, but I know they're struggling with the Hawks. And while Ben Simmons was great defensively, he was almost completely non-existent offensively. And so I've got, you know, some people, including John, saying to me today, well, you're dwelling on the negative too much. Sixers won a playoff game last night. And I'm like, well, yeah, they did, which is terrific. But I see signs of why they'll lose in the next round. How do you look at that conundrum? Maybe you face it the same way, maybe not. What do you make of it?
Not surprised. I mean, this is kind of their identity as a team. This is kind of what they are. It's kind of what Ben is. You know, I think that I kind of view it the same way you do. I've seen the Nets now, and they look really good. You know, right now, I don't think they can beat Brooklyn. I really don't. I think they'll get by Atlanta. I think what you've seen here in the two games here is that Atlanta's they're pretty good, and they're good enough to be troublesome. But in a seven game series, the Sixers will beat them. Mm-hmm. Based on what I've seen of the Nets so far, without Harden, they look like the best team in the league. I mean, right now, if I had to pick who I think is going to win the whole thing, I think it's going to be them. But, you know, no surprise. I mean, we've been talking for weeks that this is what it was going to lead to, that it was probably the East was probably going to be Philly versus Brooklyn, and I think that's where we're headed. But after what I've seen out West, I think whoever comes out of the East is going to win the whole thing. But if I had to pick one team right now, I'd probably lean towards the Nets.
You know, well, I certainly would too, Ray. And I think it's just, like, I hate to always talk about Ben, but three shots. I guess, Ray, part of what I'm saying is when you see the greatness of Embiid, and it was on full display last night, and it's so good to know that he can physically give you that, because, of course, we didn't know 5-6 days ago if he could. But that's where I get all the more frustrated that Joel's ready to win a title. I mean, I've seen guys who have improved, and it's like, that guy's ready to win a title. There's no doubt in my mind he is. But the other guy's not ready to help him enough, in my opinion. That's what I see. You see it the same way?
Yeah, I think you're right. I do see it the same way. I mean, you win a big game last night, but, you know, you look at Simmons, who's – yeah, when most people look at the Sixers, they view it as those two guys, because those are the two guys that you kind of decided you were going to build around. And Embiid has been tremendous. You know, we didn't even know a week ago at this time, we didn't even know if he was going to be playing these first two games in Philly, much less playing the way he's playing and you know, being not just out on the floor, but dominating while he's out there. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, he is truly a great player. And the more you watch him, he is really a force when he's in the game, and he certainly demonstrated in these last two games. You know, with Ben, it's what you got. I mean, yesterday, okay, they put him on defense, and he covers Trae Young, and that's fine. But you got nothing at the other end of the floor, and I just don't know that. And this is the conversation we've had endlessly with Ben. I don't know that you can win. I don't know that you can win a championship with one of your key players being a guy who can be that invisible for those long stretches of time.
What are the odds that this season was, despite the fact that Ben doesn't realize it, a tryout for Daryl Morey for Ben Simmons, and it very shortly we will no longer have Ben Simmons in town?
Are you asking, do I think he's aware of that?
Well, what are the odds that Ben's time is limited in Philadelphia? And I guess also, do you think he's aware that his time should be limited in Philadelphia if he keeps being this one-dimensional?
Yeah, no, I think he's aware of it, yeah. I think he is. And I think you see that, and I heard you just a moment ago kind of allude to this, is that, you know, when he gets called out about a certain something, you know, somebody, whether it's the fans address it, whether the media addresses it, whatever, you know, he'll come back the next game and he'll answer you,
yeah,
and he'll go and do those things. And then the next game he goes back to doing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I've felt that all along, that if they fall short of the finals, if this thing comes down the way it very well may come down, which is them and Brooklyn in the East, and Brooklyn beats them in that series, that, yeah, I think if you're Daryl Morey, I think you probably are going to move on. Now, the one thing that may change that is that Glenn and I had, we had Keith Pompey on over the weekend, and who covers the team for the Inquirer and the Daily News.
Yep.
And he said that he really thinks that Doc Rivers really likes Ben Simmons. And the stuff that he said about Simmons publicly isn't just post-game coach speak where he's saying what he feels like he has to say to stick up for his guy. He thinks that Doc Rivers really, really likes Ben Simmons.
Wow.
and is going to be, if it comes down the way we're talking about and they get bounced in the Eastern Conference Finals, that when they sit down to begin the grand strategizing for, okay, where do we go from here, that he thinks that Doc will be an advocate for keeping, you know, give me another year to work with this guy, give me another year to work with this team, and I think we'll be okay. I don't think we have to move him. He thinks that's where he would come down because he really thinks that Doc is a pro Simmons guy. Wow. And a pro Simmons voice.
Hey Ray, one more hoops question. Then I want to flip it to the Eagles and the Phils and baseball with you. One more hoops question, which I've never asked you. And maybe I never was on the mind to, but let me ask you this. You grew up, Will Chamberlain was the guy.
Hmm?
If Joel Embiid played Will Chamberlain, what would that look like? And I know the rules would be different. Like, part of what Joel can do is bring a big guy out and shoot a three, and no such rules existed when Wilt played. But if Will Chamberlain and Joel Embiid, both in their prime, competed against each other, what would that look like?
I'd like to see it. I mean, it would. It's a totally different game now. Totally different game now. And, you know, if you just look at the two guys as players, the immediate difference that jumps out at you is that Embiid is a very good foul shooter and Wilt was historically horrendous at the foul line. That's the biggest difference between their games. The opponents, I mean, they would foul Wilt and send him to the line because they knew, you know, he'd be lucky to make one out of two, which was a better mathematical break for them than just letting him jam, you know, dipper dunk it for two. You can't do that with Embiid. I
mean, would Joel be holding his own, or would Wilt handle him?
I don't know because their games are so different. I mean, if they had to play down in the box all the time, that would be one thing. The thing is, Embiid has a lot more range. I mean, he can shoot from 25 feet.
Right.
You know, and you know Wilt would have to go play him out there. So that would be a whole different animal to do that. I don't know. It'd be hard for me to handicap that one. Yeah. I mean, if there's Embiid has range offensively that Wilt would never even approach because Wilt never had to.
Right, right.
So they're different in that respect. They're different at the foul line. But I'll say this, that I've seen some great big men play in this city. Wilt is obviously right there, and Moses is certainly right there.
Yep.
But you can at this point you can mention Embiid in their company. I mean, he is that level of player. And I kind of agree with what you were saying, is that there are some guys that you watch him play and you say, this guy's ready to win a championship. I feel that way about Joel Embiid now.
Yeah. Ray, let's talk some other stuff here. Let's go to the Eagles. Last couple of weeks they had a bunch of practices, kind of, I'll call it a casual practice, if you will. Press conferences, Zoom press conferences. What storyline stood out to you the most? What hit you over the last couple of weeks when the Eagles were getting together with Nick Sirianni and doing their thing with most of the squad?
I don't know that you can learn very much with what you're seeing on the field right now. There's little things you can learn, but nothing you can draw any long-term conclusions on. The one thing you can definitely see, and but no great surprise, is Devontae Smith is just an amazing talent. He's anybody that has concerns about whether, you know, boy, I don't know about him. He looks awfully small. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I just think the guy's that good. I think he's one of those very rare guys of that size that just, you know, you say that it shouldn't happen. A guy that size shouldn't be able to do the things that he's doing. But he's doing them. And the guys I mentioned before, you know, Marvin Harrison, I think that's a very good comparison. I think this guy's going to be just like that. He's going to be a guy that's going to be open all the time, and he's going to catch everything he touches. You know, if for people that have been following Eagles football over these last few years, one of the things that you're going to see an immediate difference with him, and boy, is it going to be welcome, is he's going to catch the ball. I mean, one of the things, a lot of things killed this team over the last couple of years, but drop passes was just one of them. I mean, this team dropped passes after. I mean, they just dropped so many passes. And I've always felt, and I have always argued this, that a drop pass is a killer play in pro football. It just is. It kills you. If you drop a pass on third down, to me, it's almost like a turnover.
Right.
You almost ought to count it as a turnover, because that's, you know,
well,
that's
it
a
is
play.
If it's on third down.
What's that? Yeah, on third down.
Yeah.
I mean, that's if you got third and three and quarterback, everything goes right, the routes run right, the quarterback throws the ball and it clanks off a guy's hands at the 6 yard mark.
Yeah.
Guess what? You're going off that. Those are at least three more plays that you're not going to get to run that you could have gotten to run before. That's X amount of minutes off the clock that you're not going to run. They now belong to the other team. Drop passes, people kind of shrug them off and say, oh, that happens. No, I'm telling you, a drop pass to me is almost like a turnover, and especially in the NFL where the margin of error is so small. And the Eagles as a team have just dropped so many passes. And, you know, I hate to put it all on one guy, but one of the things that's going to be super refreshing about having Devontae Smith on this team is he doesn't drop anything. I mean, if the ball touches his hands, it's caught. And that's one of the reasons why I think he's going to step right in, and he's going to be the number one receiver from day one. I don't think there's going to be any question about that. That's the football side of it. That's the on-the-field side of it. That's the on-the-grass side of it. The other side of it is Nick Sirianni, and one of the things I kind of like about him is his consistency of message. I mean, he has one theme that he's just been hammering away at now, and it's all been about this idea of competition. You know, it's competition. It's all going to be competition. We're all going to compete. Everybody's going to fight for their playing time. Everybody's going to fight for their jobs. We're going to decide. Everything's going to be decided by what they show us on the practice field, what they show us at training camp. The guys that play in the preseason, the guys that win the jobs, are the guys that are going to play. That's the message he's been putting out there. It's compete, compete, compete. And I think that's great. I think that's great because, as I've said to you guys before, he does, in that sense, he reminds me a lot of Dick Vermeil in year one. I mean, there's a lot of that same kind of energy. And if Vermeil had one theme, when he first came in, that was what it was. It was competition. I mean, every job is up for grabs, and the guys who are going to play are the guys who are going to win the jobs in training camp. And the thing why it worked with Dick is he meant it. He meant it. It wasn't just a coach saying something to say something. That it was competition. And there were veteran guys on that team that got cut and replaced by rookie unsigned free agents because those guys won the jobs. Dick promised it would be competition, and he stuck to it. That's where Nick Sirianni has to follow up. It's well and good. It's all well and good to talk about competition, competition, competition. We're going to compete. That sounds great, you know, and I think it's a great message to send. But when you get to camp, guess what? Now that has to be true.
Yep.
Because the players are going to be watching. And if you have a situation like, let's say, for example, at wide receiver, I mean, you know desperately at the front office wants Jalen Reagor to play like a number one pick. They want him to come in this year and play like the guy they drafted him to be. But what happens if he goes to training camp? What happens if he gets into preseason and he's Jalen Reagor all over again? But let's say a kid like Quiz Watkins comes in and just outplays him every day. You know, everybody's going to be looking at Nick Sirianni and saying, all right, you know, you said it's about competition.
Yep.
Guess what? Quiz Watkins is winning this job out here. So when you start the season, who's going to be playing? If he bows to the front office and is Jalen Reagor, then some of his currency as a head coach goes out the window.
He loses credibility with the players and the fans if a moment like that happens. Yep.
Ray, a lot of people are saying a lot of Eagles fans are very confident that Jalen Hurts is being underappreciated around this league. And, people feel like the Eagles are going to win a lot more games than most people expect because Jalen Hurts can win games for him. And then I see that, you know, Chris Sims ranked the quarterbacks in his most recent, like, top 40 ranking. He doesn't have Jalen Hurts in the top 40 of his quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So which is closer to the truth, that Jalen Hurts is going to surprise people or Jalen Hurts is going to disappoint?
Well, I hate to give you the answer. It's going to sound like a cop out, but I think time will tell. Right now, we've seen, in 4.5 games, we've seen both sides of that. We've seen him have some games where you say, "Yeah, this guy's absolutely an NFL starter," and then we've seen other games not so much. The one thing about him is it's all about accuracy with him. You know, I don't think it's a question of his football IQ. I don't think it's certainly not a question of his desire or his toughness. He certainly showed that. It's just a question of how accurate he can be. you know, 52% completions ain't going to cut it in the NFL. Not in today's NFL, it's not.
Right.
I mean, you know, maybe back in Otto Graham's day, that was okay, but not now. I mean, 52% gets you a seat on the bench. I mean, the good quarterbacks are in the low 60s. The elite quarterbacks are pushing 70. 52 gets you benched, or should. So that's where he's got to. That's where he's got to pick it up. You know, Nick Sirianni was asked a million questions about Hurts, and you know, just raved about him as you would expect a coach to do. Oh, you know, hard worker, guys right. love him, great leader. And I think to a large degree that's true. I think you saw the way the players responded to him when he came in last year. They did. They certainly rallied around him. They did. I mean, so that's there. But you know, that only carries you so far. You know, if you have a guy that's open on a shallow cross and you throw it 8 feet over his head on third and six, you know, leadership ain't going to get you the first down. You got to complete the pass, and that's mm-hmm. what we have to see with him. I think it really is just a matter of accuracy. I mean, the mobility is certainly there, and I think he sees the field fairly well. But he's just got to get mechanically straightened out to the point where he can throw the ball consistently. If they run the offense that I think they're going to run, which I think is going to have more, I think it's going to be more of a balanced offense. I think there's going to be more running in this offense than there was under Doug, especially last year. If there's more of a balance between the run and the pass, I think that will work to Hurts' advantage. I mean, last year, if you look at the breakdown last year, he was a very accurate passer in the first. His passer rating in the first half of games was quite high. It was much lower in the second half of games. And if you look at the run pass splits, the Eagles became a much more pass heavy team in the second half. And the more they asked him to throw, and the less that they ran, and the situations became more predictable,
right.
Hurts' performance suffered.
Hey Ray, great stuff. Hey, by the way, I understand Ray, you have not only a Super Bowl winning coach for Tell Us Your Story this weekend, but the most recent Super Bowl winning coach. Is that correct?
No, actually, that interview is coming up. That interview is a couple weeks down the road.
Oh, okay, my fault.
You're right. I was in the other day, and I did the interview with Bruce Arians.
Okay.
And by the way, he gave me such a great interview that the Buccaneers ran in and signed him to a new contract immediately after he got off the phone. That's how good an interview it was.
There you go.
No, this week on Tell Us Your Story, and this is a great one. It's Troy Vincent.
Awesome.
It's yeah. Troy Vincent talking about his whole life growing up in Trenton, all the work he's done in the community, and his transition from being a great player and president of the Players Association to where he is now VP of NFL operations. It's a really, really good one.
Troy shook his head about 2 years ago, 3 years ago at the Maxwell Awards when I said he was over on the side stage. I was introducing him. I said, hey, he could be the commissioner someday. And he started shaking his head, but I'm like, hey, let me tell you something. He's risen very high through the ranks pretty quickly. So.
Oh, he has, and he's a terrific player, and you know,
he's a great
I mean,
guy.
To do what he did, I mean, a 15-year
yeah.
career as a player,
yeah.
and then transition over there, and now be VP of the league. I don't think it's, you know, I mean, wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, he's
me neither.
He's an impressive dude, Ray. Always great having you on the program, as always. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much, Ray.
All right, take care, guys. Bye bye.
There he is, the Diddy, Mr. Ray Dittinger.
I think that's a good prediction. I mean, I think it's. Not, I can't say likely,
yeah.
but
right. So possible,
certainly.
And
possible.
I don't know if you remember, James. You might. When we went from 2019 to 2020, we were asked right at the turn of the year. Either James, you asked us, or maybe there was an AMA question, predictions for the next decade. And it was kind of one of those like, look, I don't know if this is going to happen. I'm just saying, if you want to hear something that maybe could happen, Troy Vincent maybe could become the NFL commissioner. And, you know, I mean, at some point, Goodell's going to be done. I mean, the guy makes $44 million a year and annoys everybody. So they're going to have to pass the baton at some point. And what was really fascinating was Troy almost became Players Association guy in retirement. Lost out on that. I think that's when DeMar Smith got it, if I'm remembering this right. And then he quickly pivoted to, all right, well, I'll be league guy. And he's very high up there in the league. So, and just an awesome dude. 215-592-9494. He was a great Eagle and obviously from here as well. Jota Camara and John Ritchie. Time's yours at 145. Phone calls all show on 94 WIP.
No one does live in-game play-by-play betting better than the Park Sportsbook app, my sportsbook app of choice. Sign up now, bet live on baseball, golf, pro hoops, hockey, and more. And they have an incredible offer to get you in on the action. As a new customer, you can make your first bet risk-free up to $500. The Park Sportsbook app is the only sportsbook based right here in the Delaware Valley, and they have it all. Live in-game betting, parlays, props, teasers, and more. Bet on individual player performances in pro hoops, hockey, and baseball like points, rebounds, goals, and strikeouts. And new customers only. Sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code JRWIP. And check out Pro Baseball Tonight, Philadelphia's favorite in their second game hosting Atlanta. The over-under is 9 runs. That's parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code JRWIP. Your risk-free bet is refunded in site credit. See the website for terms and conditions and get home field advantage with Parks Casino Sportsbook.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.